This is tape number one, side number one of the booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow by Herbert W. Armstrong. We'll start with a reading of the jacket. The advance good news of tomorrow is as certain as the rising of tomorrow's sun. Humanity won't bring it about. It is going to be done to us. Humanity is going to be forced to be happy, to enjoy world peace, to see universal abundance and joy fill the earth. In the face of today's world chaos and threat of human extinction, the voice of Herbert W. Armstrong consistently points the way to a better tomorrow. In this dramatic book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, the vigorous pastor general of the worldwide Church of God projects humanity beyond the disillusionment of this age, the poverty, degeneration, misery, and despair, to a veritable utopia of happiness and joy. Mr. Armstrong takes a hard, realistic view of conditions and trends in the world today. They point inevitably to a world crisis of nuclear war, starvation, uncontrollable disease epidemics, multiplied crime and violence, and the extinction of human life on this planet. This future world will not be the gigantic Disneyland predicted by science, technology, and industry, a world of genetic engineering, human clones, brain transplants, suspended animation of life, glittering and glamorous for the few, filled with horror for the many. What kind of world will it be? Mr. Armstrong asks, and then answers the question. A world of peace, prosperity, abundance, and well-being. All the terrible weapons of war will be redesigned into machinery of peaceful production. The population explosion will be solved. Vast regions on Earth, now wasteland, will spring to life. The dry plains will become fertile. Our polluted waters will turn pure again. Deserts will be covered with trees, shrubs, bubbling springs, and brooks. God has described this promise of a new tomorrow. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, jackals, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Isaiah 35, verses 6 and 7. From the sky to beneath the sea, God will reclaim our earth. In this new, restored setting, Mr. Armstrong explains, Jesus Christ himself will rule the whole world from Jerusalem with the love and guidance it needs so desperately. It is absolutely sure because it does not depend on man. God is going to do it in spite of man. Man would fail. God never fails. Contents. Chapter 1. Three World Views. Only one is going to happen. Chapter 2. One Last Obituary Look at Today's World. Chapter 3. The Cause of All World Troubles. Chapter 4. The New World Government. Chapter 5. Education and Religion Tomorrow. Chapter 6. Now Picture Tomorrow's World. And Chapter 7. And All Speaking the Same Language.
Chapter 1. Three World Views. Only one is going to happen. You don't have to believe it. It will happen regardless. It is sure, the world's only sure hope. This advanced good news of tomorrow is as certain as the rising of tomorrow's sun. Humanity won't bring it about. It is going to be done to us. Humanity is going to be forced to be happy, to enjoy world peace, to see universal abundance and joy fill the earth. Utopia? Why not? Why should it be an imaginary or impossible pipe dream? There is a cause for today's world chaos and threat of human extinction. That cause will be supplanted by that which will bring a utopia that is real, that is successfully functioning. Why today's evils? How will they be ended? What will cause this world to erupt into peace and plenty? How will such incredible changeover be brought about? And what will this world tomorrow be like? How will it be governed? Who will rule? You are going to take a sober look at the conditions, facts, causes, and trends in today's sick, sick world. You are going to read what world leaders, scientists, technologists, and educators say about today's trends and what they envision for the next decade or two. and then you will be given a surprising, excited look into what is certain in the transformed world tomorrow, what really is ahead and why. Today there are three views, two widely held by world leaders. Only one is going to happen, and it's the best big news ever reported in the history of mankind. What is actually going to be the outcome of all this? For our frenetic, entertainment-crazed, gadget-buying, yet chaotic, divided, and sick world is something totally unseen by statesmen, scientists, educators, and world leaders. What world leaders expect? The two most widely held views are divergent ones, paradoxically pointing in opposite directions. Many world leaders now expect, though they probably don't dwell on the thought, that nuclear destruction eventually, perhaps soon, will erase human life from this earth. Besides nuclear annihilation, there are at least five other means by which mankind could be destroyed from off the face of the globe. Chemical warfare, biological warfare, overpopulation and resulting famine, disease epidemics, and environmental pollution. Consider these facts. Human life is sustained by air, water, and food. Today, man is polluting his life-sustaining supply of these three necessities at a fast accelerating rate. Air pollution, filling the air with gases, smoke, smog, fallout from nuclear test explosions, and fluorocarbons from aerosol spray cans, not only threatens man, but renders plant life sick. Many rivers and lakes worldwide have been so seriously polluted that the water supply in many places is reaching a crisis stage. Man has depleted and ruined the soil out of which food must grow. Artificial fertilizers, poisonous sprays, and erosion caused by floods have robbed vegetables, grains, and fruits of life-sustaining minerals and vitamins. Food factories have further extracted these vital elements out of grains, rice, sugar, in the greed for profits. Add to these the worldwide revolution in the weather, droughts and floods, resulting in mass starvations in some parts of the world and widespread epidemics of disease. During the past 50 years in Africa, India, and South America alone, weather and environmental damage has caused the loss of over 1 million square kilometers of agricultural land. If all these fast-accelerating evils do not destroy humanity soon, the experts say the population explosion will. According to United Nations studies, world population at the end of this century will increase another 1.8 billion over the present 4 billion, bringing the total to nearly 6 billion people. At that time, just two decades from now, China and India will each have populations of over 1 billion. Statistics further reveal that world population is increasing by some 76 million annually, which would lead to a doubling of world population to over 8 billion by the year 2013. And projections say that a century from now, a full 12 billion people would be crowding the earth. Even now, with our population of 4 billion, nearly 500 million are gravely undernourished. As global population soars, the imbalance of human numbers and rapidly dwindling resources threatens to become even further aggravated. If the world cannot now adequately care for 4 billion, just how will it cope with 6 billion, or 8 billion, or 12 billion? Leading scientists look at this world picture and say they are frankly frightened. They warn us that man's only hope lies in the admittedly impossible, that the nations form a super world government capable of unitedly acting on these problems on a global scale before it is too late. But the nations, hostile against one another, could never form such a government. And the humans then in authority would be no more able to cope with all these non-military evils that threaten the extinction of mankind than present leaders. This widely held view of the future offers no hope. The magic world of science. Then, paradoxically, science and technology has dangled before our eyes a glittering, glamour world of their making. It was to be a fantastic push-button dream world of the three L's, leisure, luxury, and license. They have been working to produce unbelievable material devices they believe would convert this world into a glorified heaven, ignoring the stark reality of the conditions described just above, that is. Aldous Huxley said, "Most prophecy tends to oscillate between an extreme of gloom and the wildest optimism." The world, according to one set of seers, is headed for disaster. According to the other, the world is destined, within a generation or two, to become a kind of gigantic Disneyland in which the human race will find perpetual happiness playing with an endless assortment of ever more ingenious mechanical toys. How true, and also how ironic, that those voicing the most glamorous predictions of science and industry seem to totally exclude the stark reality of world conditions, and for that matter, seem unable to comprehend the additional snarls and problems their own predictions would bring. However, leaving the facts aside, let us take a look at some of the speculations for our future. In his book, The Next 200 Years, from 1976, futurist Herman Kahn, director of the Hudson Institute think tank in New York, suggests that the world economy will continue to grow well into the next century, bringing a growing standard of living and increasing affluence to the majority of the world's population. He paints a picture of a prosperous global utopia by the year 2176, brought about by continuing technology advances with plenty of energy, food, and raw materials for all. 200 years from now, we believe, people almost everywhere will be rich, numerous, and in control of the forces of nature, Kahn predicts. In his scenario, the world 2 centuries from now will contain some 15 billion people, with a staggering per capita income of some $20,000 compared with only about $1,300 today. In a previous study focusing on life in the United States in the years to AD 2000, Kahn forecasts a glittering utopia coming a great deal sooner than the world at large. He predicted that in the years just ahead, Americans would be enjoying 3-day weekends, 3- or 4-month vacations, Southern California-type living with the emphasis on family and home, high income, and abundance of material things. He asserted that people will live in 10-room houses, earn a disposable income after taxes of multiple tens of thousands of dollars, and enjoy a 4-hour work day. 5 days per week, or maybe even a 6-hour work day and a 3-day week with a 4-day weekend. In essence, we are to look forward to a life of almost complete idleness and leisure, the good life, day after day after day. In short, a perpetual vacation. But is this utopia? But does this kind of a society sound truly good to you? Think about these glowing predictions. Then think of the utter impracticability and of the many problems they would create rather than solve. Yet multiple millions, especially in the United States, anticipate such developments, hopefully in their own lifetimes, while turning a blind eye to the ominous warnings by other respected scientists who see instead impending doom for large segments of the world through famine, pestilence, and war. Can a tiny segment of the population of one nation expect to succeed in achieving ever more dizzying heights of material wealth, playing with an ever more dazzling assortment of mechanical gadgets, and ignore the awesome problems of the rest of the world? Reporting on the paradoxes posed by the projected advancements in store for future society, a science writer of a leading newspaper asked a few years ago, "What sort of world in 20 years?" The answers were interesting. He first told of new knowledge in biological science applied to medicine, giving new insight into and partial control of aging, heredity, mental illness, heart disease, cancer, and virus infections. Whole hosts of ingenious devices in the fields of applied physics and advanced engineering would provide super-sophisticated computers, communication satellites, novel transportation techniques, space exploration probes, and a newer and more glittering array of medical instruments and techniques. He envisioned bigger crowds at bigger stadiums watching bigger athletic contests. Recreation, physical pleasure, fun would be widespread. More golf courses, more swimming pools, tennis courts, dance halls, bowling alleys, color television sets. These were predicted to aid society in seeking ever more heightened pleasures. But, he said, the years ahead will have increased crime, gambling, sexual promiscuity, riots, air and water pollution, traffic congestion, noise, and lack of solitude. More and more, continued the prediction, there will be no place to hide. Even Dr. Kahn, in his study of the United States of the future, admits that the utopian changes in lifestyles and work patterns could carry with them some traumatic consequences. Many, he explains, will be satisfied, but others will find such a life meaningless and purposeless, and they will look for something to fulfill them. Kahn suggests that we may see more riots and irrational movements, along with a turn to mysticism, cults, and drugs as a means for such fulfillment. We have seen an upsurge in drug usage, with certain drugs, notably marijuana and cocaine, becoming increasingly accepted by large numbers seeking escape from modern society, with the use of the latest popular drug, angel dust, fenciclidine, also called PCP, becoming a crisis of epidemic proportions in the U.S., according to police and hospital officials. Accidents, suicides, homicides, all have been the end result of using angel dust, yet multiple thousands continue to find reality through its use. After drugs, then what? What other forms of escapism would the supposedly affluent, leisurely, utopian life of tomorrow bring with it, assuming it comes about at all? Reading such reports of the bad news as well as the good news, the cities of the future will be seething centers of periodically great turmoil and confusion. For the underdeveloped world, the plight of the average man will have deteriorated. People will be more poorly fed and there will be fewer goods per person. Every attempt to improve the situation will be wiped out by the continued population growth. Hunger, starvation, and famine periodically and continuously will stalk major portions of the planet. Then, almost incredibly, the report said probably, for the first time in history, every child everywhere will be at school if they are not starving in a famine. And so go the paradoxical and often conflicting prognostications of science, industry, and technology. Not very happy predictions, are they? Other prognostications abound, even about our personal futures. Some include choosing the sex of children before they are conceived, 1980. Artificial plastic and electronic organs for humans, 1982. Wouldn't you far rather avoid getting sick and keep healthy organs of your own? Artificial heart implantations, brain linked to computer, 1985. Chemical synthesis of inexpensive, nutritious food, cancer conquered, 1990. First human clone, brain transplants commonplace, 1995. Transplantation of almost all organs of the body, 2000. Alteration of the processes of aging, 2005. Biochemicals to aid the growth of new organs and limbs, 2007. Widespread use of artificial insemination to produce genetically superior offspring, 2010. Drugs to raise the level of intelligence, 2012. Fetuses grown in artificial wombs, 2015. Genetic engineering in humans by chemically modifying their DNA chains. Human brain linked with computer to enlarge man's intellect, 2020. Total mastery of human genetics and heredity, 2030. Suspended animation of life, 2040. Complete control of the aging process, man-made immortality, 2050. The above prognostications were adapted in part from the post-physician era, Medicine in the 21st Century, by Gerald Maxman, 1976. The predictions are almost endless. Economists, sociologists, geneticists, psychiatrists, even zoologists and anthropologists are having a hand at predicting the varicolored and kaleidoscopic never-never land of tomorrow, glittering and glamorous for the few, filled with grisly specters of horror for the many. It won't happen. So there you have the two opposite divergent views of scientists, statesmen, educators, world leaders, one glowingly optimistic about the progress of society, the other utterly hopeless. But both of these concepts are false. Man wants desperately to save the society he has established upon this earth, but this society, this civilization, can't be saved. Man himself is bringing this world to destruction. God Almighty will soon step in and create a new, peaceful, and happy society, the world tomorrow. Chapter 2, One Last Obituary Look at Today's World. Before we look at what actually is going to come, the peaceful, happy, joyful world tomorrow, let's take one last obituary look at this world man has built upon the earth. Take one last look at the corpses of education, science, technology, commerce and industry, governments, the social order, and religion. Of course, many see only the glitter, glamour, and tinsel of today's world and think it is good. They see the temporary pleasures, blind their eyes to the hard, cold facts of reality. Others, more aware of the world they live in, seek escape to remote, unspoiled areas where they can start anew, away from it all, and in harmony with the ecology. However, there isn't really anywhere to go. Remember the man who, before World War II started, thought the safest place to be was Guadalcanal? Education is decadent. But take a realistic look at this world civilization. We look at modern education first because it is the mother, the alma mater, which has spawned the scientists, captains of industry and business, the politicians and rulers, the leaders in the modern social order, and the theologians. Today's world is what its leaders have made it, and the leaders are the product of modern education. Education is defined by the Encyclopedia Britannica as a system by which adult leaders of a society inject their philosophies, ideas, customs, and culture into the minds of the growing generation. Education is, and has been through the centuries, essentially pagan in origin and character. The academic system was founded by the pagan philosopher Plato. The 19th and 20th centuries have witnessed the absorption of German rationalism into the educational bloodstream, an approach that regards human reason as the chief source and test of knowledge. There has been a dangerous drift into materialism and collectivism. God is ignored. Revelation is rejected. The ancient belief of Gnosticism, meaning we know, was succeeded by agnosticism, meaning we don't know. We are ignorant. This ignorance is glorified as knowledge. Professing themselves to be wise, have not the educated become fools? Compare this with Romans 1:22 in the Bible. Modern education trains students to earn a living in the professions, occupations, and vocations, but fails to teach them how to live. It commits the crime of developing the machine, but it fails to develop the man. In modern education, we find perpetuation of false values, the teaching of distorted history, warped psychology, perverted arts and sciences, worthless knowledge. Recently, a leading expert on educational philosophy, Dr. Donald M. Dozer, professor emeritus of history at the University of California at Santa Barbara, in an article entitled "Educational Humbuggery," wrote this about contemporary university education: "Ours is an age dominated by half-truths, and for this situation many causes can be found, not the least of which are attributable to the processes of higher education." American universities, he added, have succumbed to the cult of faddism, sensationalism, and even vulgarism. New courses in scatology, whether masquerading as sociology, anthropology, or literature, have been given classroom platforms and respectability. As students have become increasingly involved in curricular planning, they have encouraged the idea that courses rich in content inhibit their creative impulses and represent an imposition upon them. This has led to the multiplication of colleges of creative studies, which might better be called colleges of undisciplined studies, where lectures are eschewed as bourgeois and students educate themselves in rap sessions. The University Bookman, Winter 1978. A tree is known by its fruits. A mixed up, unhappy, and fearful world in chaos, divided against itself, filled with heartaches, frustrations, broken homes, juvenile delinquency, crime, insanity, racial hatreds, riots and violence, wars and death, devoid of honesty, truth and justice, now facing extinction by man-inflicted cosmicide. That is the fruit of modern education. This materialistic knowledge God calls foolishness, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, 1 Corinthians 3:19. So what's the cause of this educated foolishness? This day of man, from creation of the human race to Christ coming back to rule, has been a period of 6,000 years during which God sentenced the human world, except for those specially called of God, to being cut off from God and His revealed knowledge. Human knowledge without the Holy Spirit of God has been confined to the physical and material. The first man, Adam, having the opportunity to make a choice between being thus limited in knowledge or yielding to God's government and hence receiving God's Holy Spirit, chose the former. Actually, the natural human mind, with only the human spirit, discussed under explanation of human nature later, is only half complete. Man needs God's spirit as well as the human spirit given from birth. Yes, today's educational intellectualism is ready to die. It will be replaced by the right and true educational system of the world tomorrow. This new day system already has been introduced, and like the proverbial grain of mustard seed, already is beginning to spread around the world. teaching young men and women the true values, the purpose of human life, the way to peace, prosperity, happiness, abundant living. All this is made possible only through the Holy Spirit providing spiritual comprehension. In the world tomorrow, this true education will banish illiteracy and cover the earth as the ocean beds are covered with water. Science and technology. Today's world looks with awe at modern science as the Messiah trusted to deliver it from poverty, ignorance, disease, and unhappiness to solve all its problems. Science and technology, teamed with commerce and industry, promise the magic push-button dream world of leisure, luxury, and license. But modern science has failed utterly to reveal to the world the purpose of human life or explain its true meaning. It remains ignorant of the true values. It does not know the way to peace. It has failed miserably to deliver the world from poverty, famine, disease, fears and worries, unhappiness. It has not rid the world of broken homes, crime, insanity, immorality. A realistic look at the fruits of modern science leads only to disillusionment. Science and technology confine their attention to the realm of the material and the mechanical. Purpose and meaning of human life, the true values, finding the way to peace, happiness, and joy. We find these basics to human welfare are not their concern. These essentials are outside their field. Look again to their fruits. True enough, we find the accelerating invention and production of intricate mechanical devices, labor-saving mechanisms that inspire admiration, and spectacular entertainment and amusement devices. But then, we also observe that people have not been taught to put added hours, days, and weeks of leisure to beneficial uses. The fruit here is increasing idleness, aversion to work, covetousness, desire for more and more, and dissatisfaction with it when it is acquired. These turn out, in practical application, to be false values which only increase unhappiness. Also, we find an increasing segment of adolescents who, with money to spend and nothing but idleness on their hands, become frustrated, staring a hopeless future in the face, turning to immorality, drugs, violence, and too often, suicide. And after all, the principal contribution of modern science and technology has been the production of constantly more terrifying weapons of mass destruction. Push-button world? Yes, today either of two men could push a button and destroy two whole continents, probably culminating in the total extinction of mankind. Modern science stands exposed as a false messiah, the Frankenstein monster threatening to destroy the mankind that created it. Commerce and industry. Turning to the realms of commerce and industry, surely here we find a spectacle of development that excites our enraptured admiration. Here we find an astonishing condition that would cause people who lived a century ago, could they suddenly come back to life, to gasp in amazed wonderment. The telephone, radio, television, the motion picture in full color, the motor car, 100-mile-an-hour railroad trains, mammoth oil tankers, jet planes, spacecraft hurtling astronauts around the Earth in outer space in 90 minutes, and that send men to the moon and back. Unmanned spacecraft that take close-up photographs of the surfaces of Mars and Jupiter. The gadgets and modern electrical devices. The incredible modern computers, just to name a few. Commerce and industry, each is a world within a world. A fast-moving, pulsating world of high-geared activity. Surely all these magic productions cannot be bad. No, but most of them are being made to serve bad purposes, as well as good. And if we look further, we find these vibrant, high-pressure fields of activity based on competition and greed, appealing too often in marketing their products to vanity and wrong desires, utilizing dishonesty, misrepresentation, deception, unfair dealing. The motivating incentive is to give less while charging more. Is honesty the best policy? A magazine survey some years back put this question to 103 business executives, all high in their fields. An overwhelming majority doubted whether a strictly honest policy would enable a man to rise to the top in the business world. Only two answered yes, and one of these said he knew he was being naive. Said one, "People who don't get dirty don't make it." "In 30 years," said another, "I've known of only three men who've reached executive positions cleanly, and I admit I'm not one of them." "The higher the executive is in the management ladder," said a third, "the more likely he is to do some dirty work." An appraisal of the field of modern business reveals selfish motivation, disregard for public good, sharp practices, dishonesty, dog-eat-dog competition. We emphatically do not find here the true values and the outgoing concern for others that would give happiness to the world. The field of government. The politicians in the field of government are said to be in public service. They profess to be public servants. They are installed in offices of authority and power. They execute the laws that regulate and govern the people. Theirs is the power to regulate society, guide it, and make it what it is. They are the leaders of the people. When we turn the searchlight on government in today's modern world, we meet it once again with sad and discouraging disillusionment. Today, as of old in ancient times, too many of those who seek offices of power over the people of cities, states, districts, or nations promise great benefits, pose as public benefactors, while their inner motives are ambitions for personal power and wealth. The modern world has produced three more or less new forms of government. Each promises peace, happiness, and prosperity for its people. They are 1. French and United States republics, 2. Swedish and British type limited monarchy, 3. Atheistic communism. All three are based on the system of industry and on diffusion of education, and all three are predicated on the theory that every individual has the right to share in the benefits of science, industry, and the modern life. But actually, too often what we find is selfish, greedy men of excessive vanity, ambitious in their lust for rule, scheming to get their hands on the throttle of power for personal aggrandizement and monetary gain. We find secret deals, graft, immorality, deception, dishonesty running rampant in high places. Governments promise peace, but bring wars. They promise benefits for the people, and then extract from the people the cost of the benefits plus excessive costs of government. Government promises are empty. The people are the pawns who fork over the money in order to get a part of it back. We fail to find in human government any knowledge of life's purpose or dissemination of the true values. The social order. What about civilization? Let someone suggest a possible stupendous worldwide calamity that might destroy civilization. People would exclaim, horrified, "What? Destroy civilization?" As if that would mean the destruction and ending of everything worthwhile, everything people have to live for. People think of civilization as the sum total of everything good that mankind has struggled from the dawn of history to establish. People think of civilization as the far advanced, intelligent, well-ordered human society that is good to the point of perfection, the acme of human progress. Perhaps you have accepted this popular assumption. But is this world civilization really good? If the facets of human life and organization so far examined have brought disillusionment, surely we would think the social order ought to be good, evidencing great human progress, a proud monument to human advancement. So now we look behind the scenes. Now we turn the searchlight of truth on the social order of civilization. We look first at the most populous nations, where far more than half the world's population lives. China, the countries of Southeast Asia and Indonesia, India, the Arab countries of the Middle East, and most of Africa, as well as much of South America. And what do we see here? Illiteracy, ignorance, retrogression, famine, disease, people living in unbelievable poverty, filth, squalor, stench beyond description, victims of famine and widespread epidemics of disease. In many places, half of all babies die during their first year of life. Wretched beings, ill-housed, ill-fed, ill-clothed. Is that part, the biggest part, of this world's humanity an example of progress and a culture worth preserving? But now focus the floodlight of truth on the affluent have nations. Do we find the social order of the Western world based on understanding of life's purpose and true meaning, pursuing the true values that produce universal happiness? Regretfully, quite the contrary. In purely social functions and contacts, especially among the elite of high society, we find an unhappy competition in snobbery and vanity, with class distinctions, racial discrimination, religious bigotry, selfish motives. Look at amusements and recreations. The prevailing format in motion pictures and television is illicit sex, violence, and murder. Young 12 to 15-year-olds hear the beat and see the wiggle and give themselves over in a virtually possessed frenzy to rock music. Children start going steady about age 12 or 13, and a theologian labeled new morality becomes understanding about premarital sex, adultery, and perversion. Juveniles stare in the face a hopeless future, descend into delinquency, and in rebellion against society, organize into gangs. 1 in 10 today is mentally sick. Crime and violence are on the upsurge. Divorce stalks the Western world, 1 for every 3 marriages, leaving broken homes and frustrations in its wake. Even those who mount the ladder of success, the millionaires, relentlessly seek more millions and are never satisfied with what they acquire when they have it. This world civilization is mentally, morally, and spiritually sick. It supplies no purpose for life, knows nothing of the true values, has no concept of the right meaning of the word success. This world civilization has been making progress in reverse. It has become decadent, putrid, rotten, filthy, and is now bringing about its own destruction. But the future is not hopeless. This present evil world is to be replaced in our time by the happy, joyous, peaceful world tomorrow. What has religion contributed? Well, surely we should expect to find at long last in religion the knowledge of life's purposes, the true values, and the right ways that should make this world a better world, a happy world, a peaceful world. Here at last, we must surely find a stabilizing and uplifting influence for society. Yet, shocking though it be, incredible though it is, if we put the searchlight on the facts and view them realistically with an open mind, we find here the most sickening disillusionment of all. Reluctant though we are to recognize it, we find the established religious organizations which profess the name of Jesus Christ teaching the diametric opposite of his teachings, condemning the customs he practiced, following instead the pagan customs he condemned. The churches of the Western world are divided and in confusion. They have not converted, saved, and reformed the whole world as they profess to have been commissioned to do. If that be their mission, they have failed miserably. Methodist Bishop Hazen G. Werner once said, "We have been dried out by the hot winds of secularism. We who are to overcome the world have been overcome by the world." The church, said Harvard Divinity School's Dean Miller, simply does not have a cutting edge. It has thrown away the two-edged sword, the Bible. It has taken the culture of our time and absorbed it. To this, Yale's Chaplain Coffin agrees, "We churchmen are gifted at changing wine into water, watering down religion." This world's so-called Christianity has taken the name of Christ, has proclaimed to the world that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, has preached the name of Christ with a message about his person, but they have rejected his gospel, the gospel God sent for all mankind by him, the gospel he taught. Look at the other religions of the world, Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, Confucianism, Muslimism, Hinduism, and the others. In most countries where these religions are embraced, we find illiteracy, poverty, degeneration, misery, suffering, despair, general unhappiness. None of them has produced a happy world. They have spawned communal wars, hatreds, and violence. Where now? So we have appraised the major facets of modern civilization, this world's education, its science and technology, its commerce and industry, its systems of government, its social order, and its religions. The civilization man has developed, swayed by Satan. And we have found them all wrong, all evil, all decadent. They are ready to die. The 6,000 years of man is ending, but the eternal God will soon usher in the utopian world of peace and happiness. And where have these major branches of civilization brought us? Just what is the status of 20th century progress? What is the actual state of the world today? Just this. When we take a hard, cold, realistic view of conditions and trends, they do point inevitably to a fast-approaching world crisis of combined nuclear war, starvation, uncontrollable disease epidemics, crime and violence, and the extinction of human life on this planet. Man has no solution. The farther he goes, the more destructive are his efforts. And yet, absolute utopia is soon to grip this earth in our time, and we shall see world peace. We shall see sickness banished, vigorous health restored, ignorance replaced with universal right education, poverty replaced with universal prosperity, weeping and wailing turned into happiness and joy. Incredible? Why should it be? Why should we have a world where more than half of the world's people are living in abject ignorance and poverty, racked with disease and pain, living in filth and squalor and wretchedness? Why, even in our prosperous Western nations, should our lands be filled with sickness and pain, plagued by crime, violence, riots, broken and unhappy homes, juvenile delinquents of delinquent parents, frustrations with no hope for the future? Why? Does it make sense? Do we not realize that there is a cause for every effect? Why are people blind to the cause of all this degeneration? The two alternatives. Let's face it, right now there are two alternatives. Either there does exist a living God of supreme mind and total power, who very soon will step in and intervene in the affairs of this world and save humanity from itself, or else the threatened extinction pictured above must inevitably soon occur. There is no other alternative. One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say, "Now come on, I can't see that this world is any worse than it ever was. Nothing's going to happen. If we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll just go away." But these conditions and trends won't just go away, not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of that supreme God to mankind, have foretold today's world conditions and trends and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. It is sure because it does not depend on men or anything men might do. God is going to do it in spite of rebellious man. Man would fail. Man always did fail. God never fails. Chapter 3, The Cause of All World Troubles. You look at today's newspapers, and what do you see? War news. Crime is on the increase. Murder is commonplace. Terrible accidents. Riots break out in many nations with many killed, etc. Now let's take a look into the newspaper headlines of the near future, of the new world tomorrow that is going to come in our time. And remember, it won't become utopia all at once. That will be explained later. Take a glimpse into tomorrow. When the supreme ruler, Jesus Christ, comes again to earth, already crowned as King of Kings, in all the vast power and glory of Almighty God, the Gentile nations actually will resist him at first. But he is coming to rule by divine force. What a travesty that the nations will have to be forced to be happy, prosperous, physically fit and well, living abundantly and joyfully. But these might be the headlines you will read in the newspaper of the future. Crime rate drops to zero. No wars during this year. Former soldiers being rapidly assimilated into food production and new industries. Disease epidemics disappear. Millions have been supernaturally healed of sickness and disease. All vaccines and shots banned. Causes of cancer, heart attacks, other fatal diseases revealed. Authorities predict all such diseases to disappear by avoiding causes.
Please continue on slide 2.